Did you know that China controls the manufacturing of almost everything, including the key military components of the hardware that our armed forces use? Talk about a national security crisis. Today, we're going to talk about how we can take control, along with bringing back over $1 trillion dollars in jobs and manufacturing back to the United States. I'm Sean Kenny, and this is Rock Logic. Everybody, and welcome to the Rock Logic Show. I'm your host, Sean Kenny. Today, we're going to talk about jobs, money, and how we bring more of it back into the hands of the American workers, with one industry that many experts say will have a tremendous amount of impact in allowing us to do that. That's right, I'm talking about rare earth elements, without which we would not be able to use the technology that we take for granted. This microphone, my cell phone, the technology that my producer uses to edit this podcast would never work without these amazing materials. But what are rare earth elements and where do we find them? First off, rare earth elements are basically 17 elements, 15 of which that can be found in the lanthanide series in the periodic table. They're the ones with the funny sounding names. And contrary to popular belief, in spite of their name, they're actually not that rare. They're pretty common in the Earth's crust. Curium, for example, is the 25th most abundant at 68 parts per million, more abundant than copper. So why are they called rare earth elements? Well, that's a very good question. They're called rare earth elements because of the fact that they have a unique configuration of electrons in the periodic table in relation to the other elements. And these unique higher orbitals give them some very interesting properties in various applications. Neodymium, for example, can be used in very tiny and efficient magnets, similar to the ones that I'm using in these earbuds. They're also used in wind turbines to keep the rotors going. Gadolinium is used in computer memory, as well as various other components in high-end gaming PCs. They're also used as a contrast agent for MRI machines. Samarium is used to help control and regulate the conditions inside of a light water reactor. Lanthanum is used in the camera lens that I'm currently using right now, as well as battery electrodes for lithium ion batteries, as well as fluid catalytic cracking catalysts in oil refineries to make the fuels that we use. Now, I could go on all day about every single one of these fascinating materials, but there is a lot to cover, and I got some big picture stuff that we need to talk about. Now, the reason I'm talking about rare earths, and the main reason why I started this show in the first place, is because we have a serious problem. China controls 99% of the supply chain. They have the largest supply, they control all the mining, refining, material development, and they also own the majority of the intellectual property associated with the magnets, which unfortunately they stole from us. Now, it wasn't always the case. As a matter of fact, the United States was the largest producer of rare earth elements up until 1986. So what happened? Well, in the 1980s, during the nuclear proliferation talks between the U.S. and Soviet Union, we actually coordinated with the IAEA, or the International Atomic Energy Administration, in regards to setting terms and clear definitions in terms of what is nuclear source material. Not a big deal, except for the fact that in regards to rare earth mines, thorium is always found in correlation with rare earth materials. And with these new defined regulatory terms, the fact of the matter is that a lot of the mining companies just didn't want to touch it after that. It was too much of a burden for them to deal with. Now, I'm certain that Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev had the best intentions when they set these terms into play, but the fact is they could not have possibly have understood the effects on the rare earth mining industry or the manufacturing industry for the 21st century. Hell, the neodymium iron boron magnets that are used in these earbuds hadn't been invented yet. Now, this, of course, has led to an opportunity for the Chinese. You see, unlike our politicians, and where the majority of them probably had a career started in either business or law, most of the Chinese political aristocracy has educations and scientific backgrounds. Many of them have PhDs. They understand what thorium is, and they understand the value of rare earths, and they saw a long-term path to conquering the world. over the next two decades, they would mine these materials, develop the technologies, work with international companies in the U.S. and abroad to set up manufacturing for people who are looking to outsource manufacturing into China for the cheap labor costs. And for the longest time, they still were exporting these materials up until about 10 years ago. Once they were achieved 99% market share, the Chinese made it very clear to anybody in this business that if they wanted to continue getting these materials, they needed to set up shop in China, they needed to hire Chinese workers, and they needed to buy the rare earth materials from a local market. This completely destroyed the manufacturing economy here in the United States and took away millions of very good middle-class jobs from Americans. Now, if that wasn't bad enough, the rare earth elements that we use today in our consumer goods are also heavily reliant in the military hardware that's used by our armed forces. The gyroscopes in the Patriot missile system, the electro-optical targeting system, the radiation-hardened electronics inside of our SPY satellites, as well as the integrated circuits inside of drones, all use rare earth materials. And the fact of the matter is that China has an unreasonable amount of control in the manufacturing of these key components used by the U.S. military. Now, China's been getting far more aggressive on the world stage, and if the pandemic outbreaks have taught us anything, it's that we have serious vulnerabilities within our manufacturing sector. There have been laws in place set forth by the U.S. Congress to make sure that the defense contractors develop these components either by U.S. or allied countries, of which China is neither. However, because China has a sovereign monopoly over the development of these materials, they're constantly granted exemptions every year because there is no domestic alternative to Chinese mineralogical rare earths. So now you know what's at stake. This is not an economic issue. This is not a financial issue. This is a national security crisis. And you're probably sitting there wondering, well, gee, Sean, what can we do at this point? Is there anything that can be done? More importantly, is there anything that our administration is doing to address this issue? The answer is, yeah, they are. I know that I'm going to get a lot of flack for saying this because it's 2020, but honestly, I don't care. This is a serious problem. And the fact is that Donald Trump deserves credit where credit's due, because unlike the last four presidential administrations, he has actually done more in the last 3 years to address the rare earth crisis than anyone before him. In 2017, he passed Executive Order 13817, which addressed a lot of the critical concerns and shortcomings in regards to the rare earth industry. In 2019, he invoked a provision in the Defense Production Act to get the Department of Defense to analyze what the critical concerns were in terms of developing these critical materials and working with private industry to address those concerns. This, of course, led to the U.S. Army saying that they were going to fund 2/3 of the development of a rare earth refinery, as well as a rare earth mine in Texas. We even have an executive committee right now that's looking into ways to extracting rare earth materials from coal and coal ash tailings. In the last three decades, we have not had a president who has been this tough on China, nor have we had someone that's actually addressed the rare earth crisis for what it is, a national security problem. But he's not alone in this. Marco Rubio proposed Senate Bill 2093 to the U.S. Senate last year, called the Rare Earth Element Cooperative and 21st Century Manufacturing Act. Whereas Trump is trying to figure out how do we address the concerns in terms of developing the critical materials domestically, Rubio's bill addresses the thorium problem at its core, which is a regulatory concern for the mining companies. And it addresses it in two stages. One, it establishes a rare earth refining co-op that will actually go and develop these materials, so there will actually be a domestic market and supply chain for these mining companies to sell these materials to. It will also establish a thorium storage co-op. This would be referred to as the Thorium Energy Storage and Industrial Products Corporation, or the Thorium Bank for short. The purpose of the Thorium Bank would be to obtain that thorium liability away from the mining companies, store it into a very safe and secure facility, and where those materials will just stay there while the Thorium Bank can figure out ways to develop markets and uses for them, specifically pertaining to energy. And this may take several years, possibly even a decade, before that dream can come into fruition. But while they're working on that end, the mining companies will be able to process millions and millions of tons of mineralogical rare earths in this country, where they'll go in and be able to develop the powders, the alloys, and the magnets that are needed for these critical components in order for them to work. And if you think America is going to be alone in this endeavor, you're dead wrong, because there are several other countries outside the U.S., particularly Japan and South Korea, who have expressed interest into funding these cooperatives and working towards developing an alternative supply chain outside of Chinese territorial borders. So not only are we going to be developing the critical materials, the magnets and stuff for the defense industry, but we'll also be able to encourage companies like Samsung, LG, Toshiba, Sony, Mitsubishi Heavy Industries, Fujifilm. All these companies will now all of a sudden start coming into the U.S. They'll set up shop, open factories for manufacturing, hire American workers. So we'll actually be able to develop these products in the United States. So you see, the rare earth industry is actually not that big. It's only generating about $4, maybe $5 billion of revenue per year. But the materials that they generate or they make tap into a $7 trillion manufacturing economy. It's going to be a long time before we can achieve the level of market share that the Chinese have done. And even if that's completely unrealistic, even if we only tap 15 or 20% of that market, that is still $1 trillion in jobs and money and gross domestic product brought back from China to the United States that will go into directly benefiting our economy. And once we've done that, we'll start developing new IP for new materials, new magnets, new battery technologies for electric vehicles or renewable energy storage. But that's going to probably be a conversation for another time. For now, I'm Sean Kenny, and this is Rock Logic.